in 21 missionary Baptist seminaries overseas and here in the country. And I have done it in over 700 missionary Baptist churches across the globe. So when I start talking about this, when you get home, if you'll take a look at that book, you'll understand why I say that. And I'm not telling you this to impress you. I'm a geologist and I'm a meteorologist. I'm a God-called preacher and I'm a missionary Baptist. I have been all my life. I was taught that from the cradle. So you're in good hands here tonight spiritually and also from a secular standpoint. Now, one of the things that I have talked about here for, I guess, about, it was about 1976 when I first began to talk about this. And I wrote my books, and it was published in 1976. My first book was called Tectonic Chaos. And my next book was called Tribulation Triad, and the next one you have, the last one. There was so much duplication from the first one and the second book, we didn't write a second book for a long time. Now, the tectonic plates are owned, operated, and controlled by God. We didn't know about tectonic plates when I was a boy, but we knew what the Bible said. And I was taught, we didn't have an atomic bomb either when I was a little bitty boy. And I was taught that God would destroy the earth. So when all these tectonic plates came out, I was in school and I was learning about the tectonic plates. And I began to look at them and I said, this is God's earth. He made it. And he's going to use the earth to fulfill his own prophecy by his own power. Only God can do this. Only God can do it. But I'm not afraid of a thermonuclear war. We're not going to have one. Now, we'll have a few dirty bombs placed around here and there, but I'm telling you, we're very close to the end. I can't give you a day, a week, a month, or a year, but the Bible does indicate that at the time of the end, there will be certain things that happen that will let you know it's near. So I'm going to talk about that. The tectonic plates are owned, operated, and controlled by God. I put an N in there. I should have put a B. After Syria counterattacks Israel in Isaiah 29:6, tectonic plate phenomena, and that's plural, shall explode worldwide for the rest of the tribulation. Folks, this is getting pretty close. Now, I'm not talking about the rapture here. I'm talking about when Israel attacks the Antichrist. The Antichrist is not on the scene yet. He's not Bashar Assad, but he will arise in greater Syria. I have taught that. I was taught that when I was young, when I was very young. I have never seen any reason to depart from it. I have never believed the Antichrist would come out of Europe. I have always been certain he would come out of the Middle East, and I still believe that. I know it to be true. I can prove it. Not one preacher has ever debated me or wanted to talk to me about it that disagreed, because one thing Dr. David Robinson said, he said, if you're going to disagree with Brother McElmurray, you better be prepared, because I meticulously go through everything I teach. I look at the languages it was originally written in. I use the King James translation. Now, we're going to have something that's going to happen here, very significant. All this mess that's going on in the Middle East is thoroughly confusing. But I have written about what's going to happen from the time Israel attacks, Israel is the king of the south. And the king of the north is Greater Syria. I've taught you where Greater Syria was at the time this book was written. I've taught you where he's going to arise. He'll arise in Syria itself as we know it today. But his kingdom is going to stretch all over the place, all over the Middle East. I do not believe, well, I won't even talk about that. I'll just talk about some things that won't confuse you. Now, Israel is the king of the south, and the Antichrist of Greater Syria is the king of the north. Now, in Daniel 11:40, this is written, at the time of the end shall the king of the south, that's Israel, push at him, that's the Antichrist. He is the king of the north, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. This was written by Daniel in about 600 B.C. Now, if the Lord had put in there that and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with SU-24 aircraft, with shoulder-held anti-aircraft missiles, with T-25 tanks, and I could go through all the inventory if I wanted to of the Soviets. But the truth of the matter is, if God had written that, they would have thrown. If God had had him write that, they would have thrown him out on his backside. The people that read it, and it was written for them as well as for us. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, and shall push at and shall push with chariots, with horsemen, and many ships. That's what you've got right now. I went through the Cold War. They've now, the Soviets have a port in Syria itself, and they are supplying all kinds of ships out in the Middle East. I told you 20 years ago that the Cold War would come back. It has come back. And the things that are going on in Israel right now is going to start what the last 1,335 days of the tribulation period. Now, I believe that. I can't tell you the day, the week, month, or the years. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. I'll tell you when this attack is going to start. In the last days of the next administration following Obama. And I'll tell you how long it's going to last. It's going to start when Israel attacks. Now, I'm sticking my neck out. That's okay. I've always told you I couldn't tell the day, the week, the month, or the year, but I still can. But I will tell you this. When the king of the south, Israel, attacks the Antichrist, who will rise in the next administration, he'll rise during that. I'm convinced he's already over there. I don't know his name. I don't believe he's going to be the head of ISIS. And I don't believe he's going to be Bashar Assad. I never have. Now, he's going to arise there, and he's going to be very real, and there's going to come a temporary phase of peace. It won't last very long. There'll be a Hudna after Israel attacks, and he'll trap them in the Negev, and he'll leave them there for 1,335 days. At the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Now, here's what he said in Isaiah. Listen to this. I have taught for more than 40 years that the Pacific Ring of Fire is going to light up like a Christmas tree whenever the sixth seal is open. In the second book I wrote, I made a case to prove that and nobody's ever challenged me on it. Nobody. They may not agree with it, but they don't challenge me because I've got the proof in it. That's why he gave you two books. It's the blue one, and when I wrote that book in 1979, I indicated that there would be a period of time where you would see a actual thing happening over there where I coordinated all the seals, all the trumpets, all the vials. It's in that tribulation triad. Nobody's ever challenged me. That was somewhat revolutionary, but it was not a new idea. They've been trying to do that for years. I correlated them. If you'll take a look in that book, you'll discover that I indicated that we were already in the fifth seal. And the fifth seal is going on right now. You're having massive bloodshed. And if you want to know what it is, I've taught you that here forever. And now you're going to get to see it come to pass. At the time of the end, the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, and many ships. And he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. Now, I will guarantee you, absolutely positively, knowing I must answer at the judgment seat of Christ, but I will guarantee you, as a meteorologist, and as a geologist, and as a God-called preacher, I'm going to tell you exactly what this is. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder. Guess what produces thunder? Volcanic eruptions. Volcanic eruptions. Hot air rises up through the tropopause level, and whenever it goes up through there, it produces lightning and thunder. I told people this when I first started doing this about 40 years ago, and people thought I was crazy. But I knew that. And because of that, now they're showing it. You can see the lightning coming out of them. They're going to be all over the place. They're going to have thunder. And with earthquake, you're going to have earthquakes on this earth like man has never seen before. They're going to be all around that Pacific plate, and they're going to be worldwide. You say, why do you just say that like you know it? I know it. The only thing I have never known is the exact time they were going to start, and so I never told anybody. I didn't know. But now with the way things are in the Middle East, as much confusion as there is on the political and economic scene here in this country, and as the earthquakes even now, we've had three up on the opposite sides of the ring of fire that goes around the Pacific, one at Ecuador, and the other one was over in southern Japan. And both of them, the crack runs right through there. So the truth is, and great noise. You want to know what a great noise is? Do you know over in Finland, they thought that they had drilled through to hell. Woo, it was a great noise. What it was the tectonic plates. There's a tectonic plate that runs right underneath where they experienced that in Finland. I used to have a lot of friends in Finland. And when it screeks back, it produces a great noise. You're going to hear great noises. And believe me, you're going to have storm and tempest. You're going to have tsunami waves. You're going to have storm, you're going to have tempest, and you're going to have the flame of devouring fire. People don't realize how horrible this is going to be. We will not be here during the wrath of God. I promise you that. We will not be here. God will not pour his wrath. There are seven vials of wrath. We won't be here during that time. I'll promise you that. The Bible clearly indicates we won't be. But I'll tell you something. We are going to go up to the seventh trumpet. And I can prove that unequivocally. So whenever Israel attacks, you're going to have about 1,335 days left until the second advent. The second advent is the absolute end of the tribulation period. The rapture occurs some 45 days or so before that on the blowing or sounding of the seventh trumpet. You say, well, you're starting to do that with great authority. Yeah, I am. I've taught it all these years, and I've told you I couldn't tell the day, the week, month, or the year, but I've told you when it got close, we would know it. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. But I'll tell you what, if you'll watch the scenario, you're going to see the Antichrist arise in greater Syria, Syria proper today as we know it. And when that happens, you're going to see him in power. You're going to see that he's a pretty smart dude. Bashar Assad's got a long neck, but he doesn't have brains to run a cantaloupe. And furthermore, the other people, the ISIS commander, no, he doesn't either. So it's going to be a new man. And you'll see him in the next administration following Obama. Wait and see. Wait and see. He'll rise there. Bashar Assad's going to be replaced or killed or run out, one or the other. And it will probably be Russia that does it. He says, Revelation 6:12-17 is an outline preview of seal 6 to seal to vial 7. I taught that for the first time in 1979. I put it in my second book. People thought I was crazy. Well, they don't think I was crazy anymore, because those things that are happening right over there are the prelude to it. I'm not giving you the day, the week, month, or the year, but I'm telling you what to watch for during the administration, the next administration that follows whatever, whoever is elected. Now, what about whoever is elected? Well, I won't say I don't care, but I will say this. God set up the Pharaoh. God set up Nebuchadnezzar. God controls kings. Listen, I'm not concerned with who's going to be elected. I'm concerned with whether people are ready for the tribulation period to begin, or at least the last 1,335 days of it. You say, well, what kind of man are you? Listen, before 1740, I read back there. I went into old libraries with the books fell in my hand. I went all over the world during this, and particularly in the United States, because all of our schools used to be under religious institutions. And I discovered that nobody before 1740, ever taught that Daniel 9:27, that person that's outlined there, nobody ever taught it was the Antichrist. They taught it was Jesus Christ. Now, why did we change it? The evangelical movement, and the Great Awakening. And they are, you all know what the offspring is? The preachers on television, many of them, most of them. And so we jumped over on their doctrine and started taking it because you could get more people in church and you could compromise what you believed about the truth. That's why they did it. And it's awful tempting because you hate to be persecuted. You hate to be looked upon as an idiot. But the truth of the matter is, I am a landmark missionary Baptist. That is exactly what I am. But I also know that what I teach is true because it matches the Bible perfectly. Now, let's get down to number 6. Revelation 6, 17. This is an outline of seal 6 to vial 7. I taught this beginning in 1979. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Back then, we didn't know much about the tropopause level when I was a boy. We didn't know that nothing could blow through it except a volcanic eruption. They keep talking about all this thing that's going to have terrible things that's going to happen to the earth because of global warming. We're never going to get there, buddy. We're never going to get there. But I'll tell you something. You can't lift what they're using to stop it unless it's blown through there by a volcanic eruption. I wrote it. The Congress picked it up, and it's published by Republicans in one of their reports. Now, you say, do you believe in global warming? Oh, yeah, I do believe in global warming, but I believe in global warming because we're adding a lot more things to the lower atmosphere, and it's going to get warmer and warmer. But, man, you ain't seen nothing yet, because when all this tribulation period starts, it's going to get so warm down here, man, you're going to have a fan, and it probably won't even work because this is going to be a terrible, terrible time. God will protect his children. I don't worry about that. But we're going to go through part of the tribulation period. And if you'll read the book, you'll find out why. And if you'll watch the events overseas, the things I told people would happen and the things I preached in this church for 40 years are now happening. I still don't know the actual day, month, and year, but I know it's pretty close, and I try to outline it as best I can. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Stars of heaven fell into the earth. I've covered that. It's in my book. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely sticks when she is shaken by a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. I've covered this thoroughly in my books. I've done that ever since 1976. And every mountain and isle removed out of their places. There's only one way that can happen. God has to do it. Because the whole tectonic plate structure floats on underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. They've been doing that for centuries. They go very slowly, but they're going to accelerate their movement. And all Hades is going to break loose on this earth. And people are not prepared for this. And right now people are getting out of church like a mad crowd. At the very end here, we're facing this. And people are leaving church like you would not believe. This is the time to get into church. And for those who weren't in church, you need to get back in church. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Notice that says the wrath of the Lamb. Who's going to do all this destruction? Jesus. Who is Jesus? Well, we've covered that pretty thoroughly. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? You probably never heard this before. But look at it for yourself. See the word wrath there? That's not the same word that's used in the seven vials of wrath. It's a different kind of wrath. It's not nearly as bad as the wrath that is going to be poured out during the seven vials of wrath. It's the wrath of the Lamb. The rapture is going to occur on the blowing of the sounding of the seventh trumpet, I guarantee you. And we'll be here till then. But take a look. Have a preacher look it up for you. Or you can get a Greek lexicon yourself and look it up. And you discover the word used for wrath there is not the same as the wrath during the seven vials of wrath. It's a different word. You say, well, what do? I preach the word. I just told you the meaning of the word. You can check it out for yourself. I'm not doing this to be popular. And I didn't become a missionary Baptist pastor at this church to make a lot of money. Paid me $60 a week, $240 a month. They figured every week had four things in it. But God sent me here, and here I am, some 43 years later. This generation now lives under seal 5. You can find that in the back of the blue book I gave you. And the slain souls of the saints for their testimony based on their faith in God's word. So let's take a look at that. Here's where we are right now. You say, oh no. We've got to go through, listen. World War I, World War II, finished up to and including seal number 4. We're in seal number 5 right now. When I wrote the book, people said, it'll never happen. It's happening right now. So why am I telling you that? I know that it causes trouble in your own heart, and I know you're afraid of it, because when I used to go around and present this at Missionary Baptist churches, on the first night, everybody would show up, but then the wind with children, they said, I don't want my child to hear that. Well, brother, when I was growing up, they brought me to hear that. And I didn't get saved because I understood everything about the Bible. Lord, I didn't know this stuff. All I knew was I was scared to death of going to hell, and they preached it all the time. And finally, I asked the Lord to save me because I had tried desperately to do what he wanted. I was raised in a family of missionary Baptists, and they kept taking me to church, and I kept trying to keep the word. I kept trying to live above sin. You say, well, they didn't teach you that. I know they didn't, but I was so anxious to get out of church, and I like girls more than I like church, and so it just went in one ear and out the other. But I tell you what, by the time I got to be 12 years old, I was scared to death. I had been convicted for 4 years, and that night I just gave up. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for testimony which they held. Wait a minute here. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? We're all saved now in heaven. The souls are. Their bodies aren't there yet. You know those people that were seen in Jerusalem? Those were their souls. Not their bodies. Their bodies are still in the grave. There are only two resurrections, the first resurrection and the second resurrection. Well, here we are in seal 5, and all these people are in heaven, and they're crying out with a loud voice, saying, how long, Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They're in heaven. It's their souls that are up there. Their bodies are still in the grave. What are you waiting for? The rapture? What's going to happen at the rapture? Everybody that's still in their body, they'll be changed right in the living body. The people in the grave will be resurrected from the dead. So what does God do? Well, they cry out to him. He gives them a wedding garment. He gives them a wedding garment before the bride is chosen. And we're going to get a garment. And what kind of garment are you going to get? And what kind of a resurrected body are you going to get? Are they all going to be the same? Are we going to be like a wartime housing project? Some will be more glorious than others. Look at chapter 15. Look at chapter 15 in Revelation. Some will be as bright as the sun, or almost. They won't be as bright as Jesus. Some of them will be as bright as the moon. Some of the bodies will be as bright as the stars. Some as the smallest of stars. And he said, and white robes were given to them. That's a wedding garment. And they're crying out to him, how long, Lord, how long? And I guarantee you, we're in the fifth trumpet right now. They've been waiting a long time. And it was said to them that they should rest for a little season. Now notice, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. There's still people on the earth down here at that time in born again, saved bodies, and the bodies of all the others that have died up to that time are in the grave, including those that were seen in Jerusalem. There are only two resurrections. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, here we go. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You better get ready for the Antichrist to arise. In the next administration of 4 years, I think in the latter portion of it, and remember, it goes all the way into February, in the very last portion of it, the last days of it, well, the Antichrist is going to rise before that. He's going to rise in the next 4 years after Obama leaves. But then, toward the end of the next administration, believe it or not, you're going to see Israel attacked Antichrist. Because, listen, Israel's put up with this. I lived over there for more than a year. I lived among the Jews. I lived among the Palestinians. I lived among all the terror groups. I've been over there. And I'm telling you, it's coming. And the Jews, Israel isn't going to put up with this much longer. They're sitting over there under the gun, and we're not going to help them. We won't even help the Kurds. Well, I don't get into politics much because I don't care who wins the next election. I only care how close this is and how many people are prepared for it. And I'm talking about saved people. This generation now lives under Seal 5 and the slain souls of the saints for their testimony based on their faith in God's word. Revelation 6, here we go. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? And I beheld, when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The Antichrist rises to power during the next administration, and will be attacked by Israel. But his counterattack drives her into the Negev. You say, well, Brother McMurray, if this doesn't happen like you say, we're going to lose confidence in you. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. I've got a carnal nature even though I'm saved. And I don't like to be embarrassed. My carnal nature, my spiritual man, he doesn't give a rip. He is supposed to teach the word and he does it. And God overrides him. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. And it's a question of letting. I gave up a long time ago. I don't have any confidence in myself. But I have a lot of confidence in the Spirit of God. And he told Solomon to ask for wisdom, understanding, and discernment. That's what I've done. And what I didn't learn in the seminary, believe me, God has taught me since I came up here. And if it disagreed with what I taught in the seminary, then so be it. Where she remains surrounded for some 3.5 years. She's going to be down there for some 3.5 years. You say, well, why didn't you say 45 days or something? Well, I can't tell the exact day. Because you can't tell if this is in biblical time or if it's in our time today. The calendars have been changed so much you can't keep up with them. Israel will attack Antichrist in the last days of the administration after Obama's. Now let's take a look at Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Psalm 2, 1 through 12. David was a prophet. Ask any missionary Baptist, what do we base our faith on? What do we put our confidence in on? The New Testament. We go back and look at the Old Testament and we interpret it based on the New Testament. Our rule of faith and practice is based on the New Testament and Psalms, because there's more prophecy in the Psalms than there is in the rest of the Bible. Well, I'm not sure of that, but it's pretty close. Psalm 2, 1 through 12. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Do you know that most people today are falling away from the faith? And do you know that the number of people that believe there's a God is actually increasing rapidly all over the world? God said it would happen. It's happening. Well, look, the kings of the earth set themselves. They're set against God. If you take, there are almost, I said almost, 200 countries on this earth. Go. I've never done a study on it, but I tell you what, I bet 20%, less than 20% of them believe in God. Let alone Jesus. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. That's exactly what they're doing right now. Wipe out Israel. Destroy them. Against the Lord and against his anointed. Who's his anointed? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's not talking about speaking in tongues. That's talking about, because the verse before it, it's those rulers up there, that's not the pastor. That's those that came before him. It's an aorist tense and it's past tense. And it's talking about those in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. It's talking about those in the 11th chapter of Hebrews who pleased him. The elders. All the people mentioned in there, they pleased him. They tried to follow. They were saved. You say, well, Jesus Christ didn't save them. He did save them because nobody was assured of going to heaven until that blood trickled down the cross and it was shed for all men and all generations. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's exactly what they want to do right now. We want to get rid of God. We want to get rid of Jesus. We want to get rid of the whole thing. He says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Well, when he says God shall laugh, that means he's going to think, man alive, I've told him. He's laughing at him. He's ridiculing. You know what makes the devil mad? When anybody laughs at him. He doesn't like that one bit. The Lord shall have them in derision. Well, if you don't believe in the seventh trumpet rapture, at least when it happens then, you will remember this when the rapture doesn't occur at the first of the week. And you will say, oh my goodness, that's what's happened. That's what's going to happen. You say, well, what good will that do? Well, you'll know God will get you through it. He told you all this before it happened. Yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. Where's that? That's the final heaven age. You know there's a hill there. It's not a square like most people think. It's a pyramid. It's got a top to it. It's a hill. And the last one has a hill, a pyramid, that would go from San Diego all the way to Memphis. And it's as high as it is tall. And it's on a new earth. And it's got a gate around, a fence around it. You want to live inside that fence? Then you better serve God after you get saved. Are you going to live outside? And you're not going to get into the city. So it's something you need to think about. And most people, they say, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. And they get saved and they think, okay, I'm okay now. You are. You're still going to heaven. But where do you want to live in heaven? And what kind of a glorified body do you want? What kind of a reward of the inheritance do you want? And whatsoever you do it heartily. That's ekpesike, from the soul. And whatsoever you do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. I'd never preach this if I was doing it to men. I'd tickle their fancy and tell them you were going to get out of here safe. I wouldn't tell you the truth about it. I'd mollycoddle it. But the truth of the matter is, I am God called, and I am a missionary Baptist preacher who is a landmarker. And if I don't tell the truth, what's God going to do to me when I get to heaven? So you better think about this. He said, on the holy hill of Zion. That's the heaven age that follows the millennial reign. He said, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. You know, all I knew was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God when I got saved. I didn't know all the stuff I teach now. Lord have mercy. You say, well, where'd you learn it? I learned part of it in the seminary. And then when I got up here after, I said, oh, my goodness gracious. It's more like what they taught me when I was a boy back out in the woods going to a missionary Baptist creek church, that you had to go through a creek with a rock bottom to get to it. That's the truth. And those old preachers back there only preached up to the limitation of their knowledge, but they knew that God was going to destroy the earth. And the fifth trumpet rapture was taught by some of the leading Baptists on this earth. This day have I begotten thee. He said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Now what's Jesus going to do when he comes back? Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. All these rulers he's talking about. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. He says, be wise now, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. You know where most of the rulers of this earth are going to go? Hell! Or some of them will be fortunate enough to leave outside the city. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. You think I've lost my fear of the Lord? You say, oh, you ought to know how much he loves you. I do. I tell you how much he loves me. I only love him because he first loved me. That's what the Bible says. And I've learned to love him because, and I still fear and tremble. I'm scared to death. I'll preach something to you that will cause you to stumble. Think about it all the time. I pray about it all the time. I ask God to lay it on my heart if this is wrong, please. And he does. And you don't know how many messages I've thrown in the trash can that were my idea. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. In who? Period. Period. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Kiss the Son. My goodness gracious. Look at Genesis 1:26a. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. I had one of the greatest Greek teachers, or Hebrew teachers, in our work. He's dead now. His name was J.C. James. He taught me what this meant. Let us make man in our earth-becoming image, after our blood-flowing likeness. You notice all those plurals in there? After our likeness. Let us make man in our earth-becoming image after our likeness. God came, formed himself in the womb of the Virgin Mary, came forth as a man, of whom it is said in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you get to heaven, you're not going to see three gods. You're going to see one. And Jesus Christ fulfilled three offices: the office of the Father, the office of the Son, and the office of the Holy Spirit. You say, what about this child? Look at Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Isaiah wrote in about 700 B.C. For unto us a child is born, and a son is given. Wonder who that babe in the manger could possibly have been. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That's the Holy Spirit. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth evermore. Look in Isaiah. Look in chapter 2. Look in chapter 7. You will discover that in, and look at 7:26. Look at those scriptures. Do you know the millennial reign continues forever? Well, you say, what about the heaven age that follows it? It just goes right on into the heaven age, and God burns up the earth, and there we are in a new heaven and a new earth. You say, who's going to do this? Atomic weaponry? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Folks, do I have reverence and have reverential fear for God? Listen, when I started preaching, I scared to death that I'd preach something to cause people to stumble. Well, I wasn't smart enough to understand, and I wasn't letting God teach me. I wasn't yielding to him. And so finally, I just gave up. You know what? I am a frightened, helpless child. I am. He says, except ye become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the city and the gate around it. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to be. That's where I want you to be. That's where I want my children to be. Otherwise, I wouldn't be preaching this. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. You know why they crucified Jesus? Emmanuel means God with us. You know why they crucified him? They thought Elijah in the Bible would come as the Messiah. They didn't mind him coming as Messiah, as Elijah. They, and on the cross, they said, let us, oh, they took some sponge, put it up there, say, let us see if Elijah will come and save him. But why did they crucify him? He claimed to be God. He claimed to be God. And he is God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today forever. John 10:30. You want proof? I and my Father are one. He claimed to be God. Do you know they picked up stones the first time they heard that, trying to stone him? Up until that time, they were hoping he was the Messiah, many of them. Now look at Matthew 26:63-65. This is just before they crucified him. The high priest of Israel had him up before him, and he had had all kind of witnesses come in. They couldn't prove it. So he jumped up as the high priest and said, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said." In Israel, this actually meant then, and people understand it to mean the same today. "Thou hast said." You know what that means? "Yes, I am." And look what he said next. "Nevertheless, I say unto you," to the high priest, "hereafter said ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power." What comes before the Great Commission? What is the 18th verse before verses 19 and 20? "All power is heaven. All power in heaven is given unto me. All power in heaven and earth is given to me." What does it say next? "Go ye therefore." That's the conclusion. Therefore, what should a church do? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit. What's it supposed to do now? "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, the end of the world." And then it says, amen. He says, "I and my Father are one. I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said." Jesus said, "Yes, I am. Nevertheless, I say unto you, in spite of the fact that I'm the Son of God, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy." And that's why they crucified him. He claimed to be God. He is God. He is also the Son of God who fulfilled all three offices, and God took on the form of a man to do it. And when he died on the cross, the man died. He said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That was the man. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And he forgave them from the cross. And having done that, he said, he accepted it. The man died, accepted it. And then Jesus said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Well, where did his spirit go? It fled the Old Testament saints that were in prison. They were in Abraham's bosom. He transferred them from the actual Abraham's bosom into paradise. You know what paradise is? It's what we call heaven. It was then, it is now. Now that's my Savior. You say, "You really believe that?" I'm positive of it. You say, "Well, what good's that?" I ain't worried about the tribulation period. I ain't scared to die. My carnal man is, but I'm not. And if your heart's not right with God as a church member and you're not trying to faithfully serve Him, you're missing an opportunity, my friend, that you're going to blow it. And if you have rejected Him, stop rejecting Him and receive Him as your Savior, because until He gets inside you, He can't teach you what He wants to. You learn a whole lot more about God after you get saved, and you can understand a lot more things in the Bible after you're saved if you will submit to Him. Charlie, would you dismiss us?